Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
All righty, rocking and rolling. It is the Zach Gelb Show, coast to coast on CBS Sports Radio. It's a tradition unlike any other. Of course, it's the Masters, but whenever there is a major championship, we talk to Alex Meyer, senior writer for Golf Digest, and he's kind enough to join us right now from Augusta National. Alex, appreciate the time as always. How you been, my friend?
I'm doing good, Zach. Very excited for the week and happy to talk little Masters.
Let me start you off with Tiger Woods, because this is what we do on a national radio show. Doesn't matter if Tiger is still great or if he's been underwhelming. If Tiger's in the tourney, you know it's a storyline. So I understand Tiger's not what he once was. There's the hot take of the day. But I still look at Tiger with the greatness mentality. When I hear him say the other day, if everything comes together, I think I could get one more, I'm like, man, the fact that he had to use the word if makes me think that he's not very confident going into Augusta.
Yeah, no, I think that's probably safe to say. I think though, more so, we just haven't seen him play this year. And it's so weird because in December at his event in the Bahamas, he kind of surprised everybody by saying, I'm going to try to play one tournament a month next year. And everybody's like, wow, that sounds like a pretty busy schedule. Now he's played about one round per month so far this year. So it's been kind of disappointing, at least from a fan's perspective. And because of that, he hasn't really gotten to try out that ankle and everything else since that other surgery that, you know, when he played the Masters last year and he made the cut, but then could barely move around on Saturday to the point that he withdrew. We haven't really got to see him test it out. So I think he probably doesn't really know, because he has to do it for the 4 days. He hasn't really gotten the reps that we anticipated he would get. I think, you know, unfortunately at Genesis, he had the illness and he left. And, you know, I think maybe at that point he just thought to himself, well, I just want to make sure I'm 100% energy level and have my best chance going into the Masters. I don't want to mess that up before the Masters. And so at least we're going to see him give it his best shot this week. But you're right, he doesn't sound quite as confident as he has been in prior years. I just want to say, though, he was out there today and he was on the putting green and he was on the, you know, chipping. There is such a different vibe still when he's there.
Yeah.
You know, I'm watching Phil Mickelson on the 12th hole, on the 11th hole, and there's people milling about talking to each other. They're not even looking. And it's Phil Mickelson. When Tiger Woods is in the vicinity, everyone stops. Everyone looks at him, including other players. He got in the bunker, and I won't name the player because his caddy took out a phone and started videoing, but he's won a couple times on tour. He stopped to watch Tiger. His caddy started videoing because it was so cool that he was in the shot with Tiger behind him. There's nobody else like that. So you're right. He's still a big storyline, and he's still the person that most people want to see.
So when we get to Scottie Scheffler, I know it's so tough to pick outright winners, but everyone's saying Scottie this, Scottie that. Out of 100%, how confident are you that Scottie Scheffler wins this weekend?
Out of 100%, that's a great question. Well, he's 4-1 odds. I think that's a little much. He deserves to be the clear favorite, no doubt. But If he were really more like, you know, 6-1, 7-1 odds, well, I don't know. I'm not a great at math, but I don't know, 15%, somewhere like that, 20%. I'll give him 20%. I'm not going to give him 25%. Well, I guess 4-1 would be 20%. So maybe 15%, I would say, which is incredible when you're talking about one guy against, you know, 90 other players, but that's just how good he is. And, you know, every time his odds keep getting lower, you know, with the players, he was 6-1 and I was trying to talk myself into it and I got talked out of it. Of course, he ends up winning the players. So there's a reason why his odds are this low. The only person other than Tiger, I believe, who has had odds this low in the recent era was Dustin Johnson back in 2017. And then he didn't end up playing because he got hurt on the eve of the Masters. He had won three tournaments in a row. And obviously, Scotty came close to winning three tournaments in a row recently. He missed that four-footer to get into a playoff in Houston. So he deserves to be the favorite. I think, you know, the odds are a little crazy, but yeah, he's hands down the best player in the world right now.
Alex Meyer, senior writer from Golf Digest, joining us on the Zach Gelb Show live from Augusta National. Rory McIlroy, will he ever win the career Grand Slam? The Masters, the last one that he still needs to check off.
If I had to say, I will say yes. And only, I would have been on the fence, but his buddy Tiger said yesterday he will get it done, he believes. And Tiger knows more about golf than probably anybody. You know, it's funny because if you took away Rory's name and you just looked at his career record at Augusta, you would say, oh, this guy's a great record at Augusta. But because he's Rory and because he won the four majors at such a young age and because he's been going, trying to complete the career Grand Slam for almost a decade now, he's kind of looked at as a failure. But he has played well here. He has had his chances. And he's had, you know, nice moments here. So the fact that he's still, you know, not even to 35 yet, and he's got, I don't know, at least another decade of, you know, barring injuries, of being in his prime or close, I would bet on him getting it done. But yeah, it's kind of crazy that it's even a question, because when he won that fourth major back in 2014, I mean, I think we would have said 99% yeah, chance that he would do it by now.
You know, it's also wild. Brooks Koepka has five major championships, hasn't won a green jacket yet. Where's the confidence level with Brooks going into this weekend? Because I don't know, maybe it's because of all the LIV Golf stuff, which I think is overblown now. The LIV Golf PGA, we'll talk about that in just a second. Doesn't resonate as much as it did a few years ago, but I feel like we haven't heard much about Brooks going into this tournament.
I agree. And, you know, last year he did win, I believe, the last event heading into the Masters on the LIV Tour, or was one of, so he, you know, and people are like, oh, here comes Brooks. He's getting in shape for the Masters. And sure enough, he had the 54 hole lead. He kind of let it get away. But this year we haven't heard as much. He hasn't really done anything, but as we know, that just for him, it doesn't mean anything. I mean, it really does not mean anything. He could win the week before the Masters. He could play terribly the week before the Masters. And I think we would all just expect him to show up and play well. So I'm actually surprised that his odds have slid down to what they are. I think maybe like about 20-1 now in some places. And that seems kind of crazy to me, because if I were just saying, you know, if I had to pick a top three, I think there's a clear top three, put it that way. I think Scotty's the clear one, but then you have Rahm and Brooks are probably 2-3, 2A and 3. And the fact that he's 20-1 seems kind of crazy. So I'm sure his confidence level's high. I just feel like for whatever reason, we have not heard from him at all this year. You know, he hasn't. Last year we were talking about him because he was on Full Swing. You know, he revealed that he had the big open spot in his trophy case waiting for the Masters trophy. You know, and this year we just haven't heard from him. But I think confidence is there. He's another guy. It's just a matter of time before he wins one of these green jackets.
So you gave the three big names. Who's someone, it doesn't necessarily need to be a long shot, but not really getting talked about that much, that you're like, okay, I could see this guy. I could see Alex Myers looking like a genius on Monday if you say this guy has a chance to win at Augusta, then he goes and plays four epic rounds.
Right. Well, I will kind of look like a genius if Joaquin Neiman wins, only because I bet on him a couple months ago at 55-1, and now he's all the way up to 20, 25-1. So that's the guy I would actually look like a genius on. My other big bet is not going to blow anybody away. It's Xander Schauffele. And once again, I've been, you know, either you could say convinced or suckered into him because he's still obviously looking for an elusive first major. He hasn't won a tournament almost in 2 years, but I just, he's playing so well. Like Rory, he favors that right to left ball flight. We know he can putt. We know he's a great wedge player. You know, he's that next guy, I think, to me. And I know the odds kind of reflect that anyway, but I think beyond those three guys, he's the guy. And then again, Neiman, not only based on he's done fairly well here, but he won at Riviera, which has always turns out to be a nice comp. You see a lot of overlap between winners at Riviera and Augusta National. And then again, like just the juicy number that I got him at is kind of like, but going a little further down now, another guy whose odds have dropped and another guy who almost won this year at Riviera and who's almost won at Augusta is Will Zalatoris. I love Will Zalatoris at 45-1 or whatever he is now. That's, to me, that screams, you know, value right there.
Yeah, I'm paying attention to you, but I picked up my phone because I just wanted to make sure I got the numbers right as Alex Meyer is here with us. I placed two bets this morning. Zalatoris at plus 4,500 to win outright. And then it was Cam Young at plus 5,000. I went with Cam Young. And now like I'm looking for a third name. I feel like because the odds are pretty good, 45-1, 50-1 of those two, that I probably go Brooks here because once – like last year, you know, I know Brooks had a good showing. But it feels like when we're not really talking about Brooks or, you know, it gets all caught up in the live thing now, Brooks just – he has that ability – where nothing else really matters but the major championships to him, and he makes that clear. And now people being silent about Brooks makes me think he's going to be my third pick for this weekend.
Right, and he always wants to prove a point. And if he's not being talked about with those guys, you know that's bothering him for sure. No, I agree. I'm kind of stunned because when I first I do my master's ranking about a month out, I think I waited till the players this year. And it's based on odds, obviously. Mm-hmm. So, and Brooks, when I started doing it about a month ago, I think he was 12-1. He was right there with Rom. And now what has he done to slide down? Because like you said, nothing really matters that he does outside of these four events. So the fact that he's moving down the board when, you know, okay, so he hasn't won a live event in the last month. So what? It doesn't matter with this guy. So I'm kind of with you, like of those big three. I mean, again, I'm not betting Scheffler. It's ludicrous to bet anyone at 4-1 odds in a golf tournament.
Unless you got Portnoy money. If you got Portnoy money, then you throw it down.
Yeah, he's hot. He'll probably win. But yeah, you know, Scheffler's 4-1. That's absurd. Rahm, again, I had Rahm as number one in my ranking just because he's 12-1. But then Brooks, you can make a case he should almost leapfrog because he's now moved from that 12, 14-1 down to 20-1. Rory's further down my board just because, again, you know, 10, 11-1 for him. I don't put him in that category right now. So, but of those three, you know, again, Scheffler clearly at the edge, but if the other two are kind of even, then yeah, I mean, why not just take the extra few odds there?
So last year when we had you on, I said I've placed a bet on every major that Patrick Cantlay has been in since 2019. Here's the thing, though. Last year, I tweeted out, I'm not doing it this year. I'm clearly a mush for Patrick Cantlay. And then he follows me on Twitter. He retweets it. I'm like, okay, I caved. I tweeted it out this year. I am not betting Patrick Cantlay. I want to see him win a major. But, man, it's just like my pockets are now like fully empty. And they have holes in them for how much I've bet on Patrick Cantlay the last you know, few years since 2019.
Right. Well, I can't knock you too much because for me, that guy is Xander Schauffele, his buddy. And they were playing together today in the practice round today on the back nine. And, you know, Xander looked fantastic, by the way, I will say.
But, Cantlay didn't.
He looked okay. He looked okay. Not as good as Xander. Xander
Come on,
was
Joey
really,
LaCava. Get him going.
Yeah, Xander was really sharp. But no, you know, we all have those guys, right? We have those guys that we fall in love with, and then we don't want to miss out when they finally do win. And that's happened to all of us too. And, you know, the last few years, at least at this tournament, I did stick to my guns on Rahm. I said he was going to win at some point. I'll just keep picking him until he wins. And he won. So sometimes you do have to just ride a guy till he wins if you feel that confident in him. But, I'm surprised. Cantlay, like Rory, until at least last week, off to a very slow start to the season this year. Usually he's a guy who at least you can count on, you know, a bunch of top fives, bunch of top tens coming into this event. But as a result, if you were to bet on him, Zach, I mean, at least the odds now are like 40-1 or something.
Yeah, not doing it this year.
Not doing it. Good for you.
I got to take one for the team, and then hopefully Patrick Cantlay gets it done. All right, last thing I want to ask you, Alex Meyer, senior writer for Golf Digest. A few years ago, there was no hotter topic than LIV Golf and the PGA Tour. I think everyone's now just fatigued with it, and we don't really care about it, especially after this merger financially that was going to happen, and I haven't heard much since. I know it's the great unknown, and you probably won't have a great answer for it, but what do you tell the casual golf fan about the future of golf with all this nonsense that's been going on?
Yeah, I mean, the one thing I'll say is you definitely hear more and more players wanting to unify. And, you know, it's funny hearing it from the LIV guys because they're the ones who broke the whole thing up in the first place, like Bryson and Phil. But then you hear, you know, when Rory flips his tune and is even like, oh, man, we got to put these guys on the Ryder Cup now. When you hear, you know, a lot of these other guys, Cantlay, other big names for the tour saying, yeah, we probably do need to unify. I do think that they're going to try to make that happen. They've had meetings in recent weeks and recent months. You know, some days you hear they went well, some days you hear they didn't go well. But I think everybody realizes for the good of the sport, it would be better if everybody played together more than 4 weeks of the year. So I think that's going to happen. But to your point, I agree. I think the LIV talk is way down this year, which again is welcome for me, welcome for golf fans. I'm sure 2 years ago it was like, oh God, these guys haven't seen each other in a couple months. Are they going to get into fights? No. Last year it was, oh my God, these LIV guys, can they still, they can't compete anymore, can they? Obviously they can, with Brooks holding the 54-hole lead and Phil Mickelson making a run. So this year it's kind of, we've run out of those kind of forced storylines. I think until there's actually a merger or there's a definitive not merger going to happen, I think that has cooled down a bit, and I'm with you. I'm tired of it. I think the fans are tired of it. I think we just want to focus on the golf. Let's just appreciate that all the best players are here this week, and let's just watch them play and enjoy it.
He is Alex Myers at Augusta National. Go enjoy probably your 18th $1.50 egg sandwich of the day.
Oh yeah, well the peach ice cream. Yeah, I can't stop eating.
Love it. There he is, Alex Myers, joining us, senior writer from Golf Digest. One of the best covering golf. Always enjoy our conversation previewing the major championships, the four times we get to do so throughout the golf calendar. All righty, Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio. We'll come on back after these short messages.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Hey everyone, this is Brett Boone. Would you know it? I've got a podcast going strong in our fourth year. Tune in as I sit down with my friends, some of the biggest names in sports, media, entertainment, for a lot of fun and in-depth conversations. As you know, baseball's been my life. It's been in the family for a long time, but it's a lot more than that here. It's sort of like taking a ride in a golf cart around a beautiful track. Join me every week for multiple episodes on the Brett Boone Podcast, available on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, it is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. So, Samter, I just, on the fly, I just saw this right as we were coming back from break. I Slacked you. See, now I'm all over Slack. I'm like the best company Slack person now since Samter got it on my phone. It's amazing. I'm finally on the Slack train. There's so many people right now that are like, how have you been doing your job for all these years without Slack? I've always had Slack. It's only been on my computer. And for some reason, when I downloaded the app through all the changes throughout the years with our company, that my Slack that was on my computer wouldn't transfer over to my phone. It was trying to use like an old domain. And then one of the IT guys just looked at my phone for about 2 seconds and was able to press what needed to. He was like, Jonathan Gannon. And then boom, Slack appears on my phone. But we'll play this audio later in the show. And I want to see if the audio actually matches the headline. So the headline is from Dove Kleiman. And I guess Cam Newton was on Shannon Sharpe's Club Shay Shay show. And the headline is, Cam Newton says the Falcons could have got Justin Fields, himself, and Michael Vick for the same price that they gave Kirk Cousins this offseason. Okay. Since I have not heard it yet, all I'm going to say this. What is the point of putting yourself and Michael Vick in the conversation? I think there is an argument to be had. Would you rather have Justin Fields or Kirk Cousins? I personally, in Atlanta, thought Kirk Cousins was the right move and a better move than Justin Fields. But Cam, your career has been long over. You have not been the elite Cam in many years. Like, if this was 2014, yeah, obviously I would want Cam. I was a huge fan and still am a huge fan of Cam. When Cam signed with the Patriots, I got a Cam t-shirt. I always defended Cam in Carolina when you had idiots questioning his quote-unquote antics because he celebrated and gave footballs to children after he scored touchdowns. But I watched Cam in New England. Cam was dreadful. Terrible. Cam was banged up at the end in Carolina. And then, oh yeah, he returned to Carolina and everyone was like, rejoice, Cam's back. And he stunk in 2021. So why would Atlanta be interested in bringing in Cam? And what's the point about Michael Vick? Like, I'll play the audio later. But you would infer, right, if he's saying you could get Justin Fields, Cam, and Mike Vick for the same price that you gave Kirk Cousins that deal, you would think he's saying all three of those guys would be better options than Kirk. Gonna let you in on a little breaking news. Here's the second hot take of the day. In the year of 2024, Kirk Cousins is a better quarterback than not only Cam Newton, but also Michael Vick. Boom. Explosion. There's your hot take of the day. When was Mike Vick's last year in the league? Was he with the Steelers? I know he's with the Steelers, with the Jets. Let me see here real quickly. Yeah, the Steelers, 2015. What is Cam, like, even bringing Cam up is now old. What is Cam doing bringing up Mike Vick? Like, 2015, I was in college. What are we doing here? And I hate it because I love Cam. But Cam has turned into the guy that's like back in my day that it would still work in the present day. That's really tough. Cam keeps on throwing his names in for jobs. And I know he said in this offseason, the only team he would go sign with is Atlanta. No one has called you. No one has wanted you. Like Ron Rivera and you guys were linked together. He never really seriously considered you with the Commanders. And they've never had a quarterback when he was there. We have the audio now. Oh, look at this. Samter working very quickly. That was a rapid pace. You could be like a NASCAR pit guy with how quickly you change those tires. I really hope, because I like Cam, I really hope this audio doesn't sound as stupid as it appears on social media. Here is Cam with Shannon Sharpe and Club Shay Shay.
It ain't even, I mean, it's that's egregious. And I love the fact that he's able to get that
right.
Money. But what the Falcons paid Kirk Cousins, they could have got Cam Newton, Justin Fields, and Michael Vick for that price.
But what's the point? So it was what, $180 million? I think 100 something of it was guaranteed over 4 years, if I'm remembering this correctly. Why would you want Cam in 2024? Why would you want Mike Vick in 2024? So basically, let's just play this out. It shows you how dumb this comment is. Let's say Arthur Blank said, okay, we're signing Cam, we're signing Mike, and we're signing, or we're trading for Fields, and we're going to allocate $180 million to all three of those guys. We would talk about that for about a month, every day, every minute of this show, every segment of this show, and say how that's the dumbest thing an NFL owner could ever do. Because Cam is not a better quarterback than Kirk in the year of 2024. Mike Vick isn't a better quarterback than Kirk in the year of 2024. You want to sell me off the potential of Justin Fields? Fine. That would have been a fun connection with all the names that you got. It would have been a fun offense to watch. But why would you then give basically $180 million to Justin Fields? Does any Falcons fan be like, wahoo, this is unbelievable. Oh, this is great. Here come the Dirty Birds. Like, no one would be jacked up. You'd all be slamming the move. Like, that's the funniest part about the clip to me, Samter, is that Cam thought he was on to something. Cam thought he had this great revelation that you could get these three guys for $180 million, and it would be so much better than what you actually allocated those dollars to. That's the crazy part to me, is that Cam doesn't understand that in the year of 2024, his NFL career and his ability to be a good quarterback, it's donezo. That window has long been shut. That's the crazy part to me, Mike.
I'm with you. I loved Cam when he played, but I'm getting to the point now where some of the junk that comes out of his mouth is just so asinine. And like, he comes from a place where he knows a lot of stuff that a lot of other analysts and a lot of other players might not be able to know or say, or because you don't get outspoken quarterbacks nearly, you know, as often.
Yeah,
right?
So usually buttoned up quarterbacks, yeah, that are robots and say nothing.
So it's nice to have a quarterback who's going to say stuff. But but the problem is lately, there's been so much crazy nonsense that he says that when he does say something profound, when he does say something interesting, when he does say something that actually could make a difference,
takes away from it.
Yeah, it's like the boy who cried wolf. It's like, I can't listen to Cam anymore and take anything he says seriously.
We all have a family member that when you hang out with that family member, you know they're going to say crazy, ludicrous things, and they just want you to engage in the conversation. And I'm smart. Sure, there may be 1 out of 10 times I see this family member, I'm like, oh, let me stir the pot. I'm ready for the entertainment. But the 9 out of the other 10 times, I'm just like, yep. Okay. Yep. Okay. Sure. Yeah, absolutely. Even if I vehemently disagree with it, because you just let them spew what they want to spew. And then it's like, okay, you survived that conversation. I ate my food. And then I could go walk to the other side of the room and sit on the couch or the chair outside or something like that. That's what Cam is now. Cam is that family member that, like, you once loved, that you thought was awesome, that you thought was cool, and that he was the dude. But now when he speaks, you're just like, all righty, whatever you say, sure, yeah. I'm going to agree with you. I'm going to nod my head even though I disagree with you, just so I could get through the conversation, and then it's somebody else's problem at the family gathering. That's what Cam is right now.
I sort of sadly get the feeling that I'm probably that guy in my family. So, you know.
Oh, really?
Yeah, you know, like, I'm probably the guy that everyone's like, oh, yeah, you used to be really fun to talk to. Now
it's
just like, man.
By the way, I'm shocked that Santa is that guy.
hold on a second. Am I sensing sarcasm?
Oh, no. No, I'm being 100% serious. I'm shocked you are that guy. Shocked. Here's the thing.
Why did your voice get so high just now?
Yeah,
I mean, you just raised like 3 octaves. I'm skeptical.
You should be. Well, no, what I will say, Samter, and I didn't mean that in the way that it did come off, in all seriousness, but you are so passionate and you're so convicted in your beliefs. Like, but I don't think, sometimes I think what you say is crazy, but when I think it's like world issues, like serious issues, I don't think you're probably that crazy.
I mean, you thought I was crazy when I said that Calipari is going to get booed.
Yeah.
And right now, 60% in our poll agree with me. 60% say that he's going to get booed, and 40% say he's going to get cheered. So you might think that my takes are crazy. You might think that my opinions or my thoughts are nuts, but maybe I'm not as crazy as you think I am.
Well, we have a boss who's still here that's leaving the company, but he's still here in Spike Eskin. And Spike has made it clear that Twitter isn't a true reflection of society. There's a lot of crazy people on Twitter. So I think this was an obvious slam dunk cheer for John Calipari. And right now I'm in the minority of 42%, and 58% are saying that he's going to get booed, which is wild to me. It's still wild to me. So you could grab a phone line if you want to jump in on that conversation, 855-212-4CBS, or find it on social media at Zach Gelb, at CBS Sports Radio. Will John Calipari get booed or cheered in his first return to Kentucky as the coach of Arkansas? I think he's going to get cheered. I think he's going to get a standing ovation. And when Samter put this piece of information in front of me, the question of will he get booed or cheered in his return to Lexington, there was one of those days where I'm like, yeah, I'll entertain with the crazy coworker. I'll hear him out. I'll see what he wants to say. And I was kind of stunned that you think that he's going to get booed. But maybe I'm wrong. You know, there are times, breaking news, third hot take of the day. Breaking news, there are times that I am wrong. So maybe I'm dead wrong on this. But maybe this is just in the immediacy of not knowing who the coach is going to be. But a lot of these Kentucky fans wanted Cal out. They wanted him out. And you don't have to pay him now the $33, $34 million that you're going to owe him. And he won you a championship. So I don't get why the majority of people will boo. I don't think there's animosity here. There was animosity when Ed Cooley stabbed Providence in the back and then bolted to Georgetown. He deserved to get booed. But Calipari getting booed whenever he returns to Arkansas to Kentucky? I don't think that's deserved. All righty, Bart Winkler is going to join us next for Winkler Wednesdays. It is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. Update time first. Here is the Act Man, Rich Ackerman. All righty, Bart Winkler does a sensational, marvelous, spectacular job right here on CBS Sports Radio. I keep on going, but I'm running out of big words. Weeknights, 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. Eastern on many of these same CBS Sports Radio affiliates, SiriusXM, Channel 158, the free Odyssey app. Bart, how are you, my friend?
Thank you for the nice half a sentence there. That was pretty good. I do like getting compliments from some people that call on the show, and they always preface it like, God, I really thought you were going to be trash, but you can actually complete sentences.
Yeah, well, that's what usually never happens. In this business, whenever someone gets fired or someone takes a job elsewhere and they get replaced, the immediate reaction is whoever the new guy is or a new gal is, they're terrible. Terrible. How are we going to? You ruined our life. And I get it because it's routine and people listen all the time. And then after like 6 or 7 months, you go, oh, this person's actually pretty good. Oh, management actually knows what they're doing. And then it's always, you know, when I first listened to you, I thought you were going to be terrible. I don't know how we were going to survive. And now I enjoy listening to the show every night. So welcome.
That's why my dream.
Welcome to CBS Sports Radio, soon to be Infinity Sports Network. All right.
my dream job was to always replace Bob Uecker for the Brewers, because whoever replaces him, you're not Bob Uecker. So I was, and I've been pleading for this for years. Like, let me do it for a year. I'll be such trash that then the next guy you hire, the guy you want to hire, doesn't have to replace Bob Uecker, which is impossible. He has to replace me, trash. So I always volunteered that, but the Brewers never seemed to care about that.
So talking about the great coach and having to replace the great coach, right? We've seen it now twice with two pretty big programs where Saban walks away. Now it's Kalen DeBoer. There will always be people that will be like, oh, even though Kalen DeBoer just took Washington to a national championship game, he's not Nick Saban. The Kentucky one is interesting to me, because a lot of those fans thought the time was up with Cal, And now it's like, okay, they're not happy with a lot of these names that are out there. Like, I'm getting into it with Kentucky fans because some of them are upset with the possibility of bringing in Scott Drew. I'm like, Scott Drew took over a program where literally a player murdered another player, and that program was in peril. No one thought they could win a national championship. He's made them a perennial 20-win program, 20-plus win program, and he won a national championship in Waco, Texas. So if, in fact, that you do have Scott Drew get the job at Kentucky, I don't get why people don't think with more resources he can't win in Lexington.
Well, it's always tough, like you said, to replace somebody who's been there for so long. But the last few years of Cal, I mean, Kentucky's been the reason that my bracket's consistently been busted, because for some reason I'm so stupid to think they can be double-digit seeds in the first and second rounds of tournaments, which they can't. It's when you're attached with a guy like that for a long time, it's hard. You know, the Brewers, if I may talk about Milwaukee.
Sure.
Don't do it enough.
I have the over, by the way, on every time you're going to mention just Milwaukee on this fine radio program.
I do it less than I could. I just want people to know that. I do it way less than I could, and maybe even should. But Craig Counsell left. And Craig Counsell, he was somebody that Brewers fans were like, we're getting to the playoffs, but we're not. I mean, is he? Could they use a change of culture or whatever? And then he left voluntarily to go to the Cubs. And so you guys are get the poll up and talking about if Cal's going to get booed. I think that in Cal's spot, there will be boos, but there's probably going to be enough people that are like, guys, we got to remember all the good times. We can only cheer. Because with Brewers fans, Craig Counsell left to go to the rival. And to make matters worse.
Wait, by the way, can you do that impression once again of the Kentucky fan? Because there's a coach that I heard you sound like there. Can you just do that impression?
I don't
impression?
Know what coach. This is my impression of all dumb fans.
Oh, you sound like Tom Coughlin, honestly.
Oh, well, great. I'm cold and red, and I beat the Packers.
So, but to your point, so like recently, we saw Ed Cooley leave Providence.
I just need to say one thing.
Yeah.
Counsell didn't just leave Milwaukee to go to Chicago.
He stabbed him in the back.
He's still living in Milwaukee. Nobody, like, if this was an East Coast thing, if someone left New York to Philly or New York to Boston or Philly to Boston, like, oh boy, that sucks, rival. But if you still lived in the town and went front row to games, Craig's going front row to Bucks games.
So
suck.
Here's the thing, and I know that this is a you issue, but we could relate it to this topic with Bart Winkler here with us.
That's what I do.
When Ed Cooley left Providence to go to Georgetown, he stabbed in the back. It was slimy how he left. Same thing with Counsell. It felt like he was going to the Mets. If he went to the Mets, I think most Brewers fans would be like, okay, stinks that we're losing him, but not the end of the world. He goes in division to the Cubs. Calipari's leaving. He's going in conference to Arkansas. But I don't think that there's many Kentucky fans that are irate with Cal's decision to go to Arkansas because it gets him off the hook for the $33, $34 million that they would have had to buy him out. And there was a good contingent of Kentucky fans that wanted him out because he lost to Oakland. He lost to St. Peter's. He missed the tournament one year, lost in the round of 32. It just seemed like it was time to split. And I don't feel as if this Calipari leaving to go to Arkansas has a lot of hatred and animosity like some other departures.
No, I don't think it does either. I think the $33 million, saving that money and then maybe using it towards another coach is what you think when you put emotions aside and think about it. But I know, like, if I was a Kentucky fan and I wanted Cal fired, I would be like, you want the joy of him being fired. And
really?
You don't want you don't want the joy of him being like, all right, I'm gonna be the bigger man here. I'm the one who realizes that you need a new voice. I not only did I achieve all this, but now I'm the one doing this. I'm doing what's best for you, Kentucky, is the way he's painting it. When I think he's doing obviously what's best for him, because these college coaches, if you can get football, basketball, any college level where you have a little bit of success and winning a championship it goats you forever. But whenever things get bad in your place, you can always just bolt somewhere else. And then they think, oh, here's all the good things that Cal did. What about the bad things? someone else's problem.
And here's the thing, too. This move fits what he likes to do, which it's spend a lot of money to go get these great recruits. And at Arkansas, with the Tyson Chicken money, with Jerry Jones's money, with the Walmart money now, and all the boosters that we're finding out about, this is the system that perfectly fits him and perfectly fits what college basketball is now, which it's you got to pay in order to get these players to play. And Arkansas is going to do whatever it takes because Cal going there is the out-of-the-league type of hire for a program like Arkansas, who did a really good job of Musselman, and Musselman goes to USC, which surprised some people. But now you get Calipari. If I would have told people 2 years ago Cal would be the coach there, no one would even think that would be even possible. So I really do think when inevitably they announce Scott Drew or Billy Donovan as the next head coach, everyone kind of wins here. This is a win for Kentucky to build the next championship team, and it's clearly a win for Arkansas, and it's also a win for John Calipari.
Well, Kentucky needs to hire somebody soon because I think what Alabama for football was getting into was before they could even offer the job, people were coming out to decline it. And I think that that can take a little bit of a hit towards your program. I don't know how long-lasting it is, but you've got people already declining it. You've got, you know, Dan Hurley laughing it off. You've got all this stuff. Like, I think they need a coach, and I don't know.
Yeah, but here's the thing. Hurley's not realistic. Wright isn't realistic. I wonder if Nate Oates was even actually contacted. He should be. But how many of these guys, like in the Alabama
I think a lot of those coaches are like, I'm not going. Yeah. I'm not leaving.
I would do that, too. I would do the same thing because we had that tell article, and who knows what's true or not. But we had that tell article come out like a few weeks ago from ESPN that Alabama really only talked to Kalen DeBoer and Mike Norvell. But then you had the Dan Lanning whole I'm coming back. You had Steve Sarkisian posting I'm coming back. So it's how many of these coaches are just using Kentucky that aren't really real candidates to drive up more money at their school and also to make themselves look like gods with their fan base.
Well, that's a great segue because I would like to announce after 3.5 months of doing the night show that I am reaffirming my commitment to 10-2
good
East. I am not going anywhere. No one's offered me anything at all. No one's written any article about me or nothing, but I'm not leaving.
You're not bleeping leaving. You're like Jordan
Belfort.
I'm not
bleeping leaving.
You're like the Wolf of Wall Street right now.
I am.
By the way, fun fact. My mother dated the real-life Wolf of Wall Street, Jordan Belfort. Back in high school and in college. Did you know that?
I did not. They left that part out of the movie.
Yes, my mother was not Margot Robbie. To make it clear, she's not who Margot Robbie was portrayed as a movie was not my mother. There's actually some troll, by the way, that like tweets about me religiously. I had to block him. So I wonder if he still does, but I haven't thought of this guy in a while. And this troll, I guess I told that story once and he somehow, because the guy's such a moron, he thought I said that my mom slept with Anthony Scaramucci. So he would tweet people, ask Zach Gelb about his mother sleeping with Anthony Scaramucci. And I was like, I don't even get this because I know that my mom dated Jordan Belfort, but she's never had any meeting with Anthony Scaramucci. So it just shows you what you get with some people on social media.
Well, my mom only dated my dad and they only had relations 4 times because they have 4 kids. That's all that's happened. That's all I know. That's all I've ever wanted to know.
He is the great Bart Winkler. You could hear him tonight on CBS Sports Radio from 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. Eastern Time. Bart, thank you as always.
Bye, Zach.
There you go. The great Bart Winkler. Man, he was in a mood today. Bart was really in a mood today. I love this segment. I absolutely love that segment. All righty. We'll take a timeout when we come on back. Caleb Williams fires back at Greg McElroy. Friend of show, Greg McElroy. As Greg McElroy said that Caleb Williams' one concern is he hasn't really ever overcome any adversity. Are we having prospect fatigue with Caleb Williams? And we will delve into what the legitimate criticisms are of Caleb Williams. Because it's amazing. In all the analysis that we do with the draft, I haven't heard one game in particular that I think is the most damaging to Caleb Williams, who I think should be the number one overall pick. This one game doesn't get brought up. And it's amazing what people have latched onto and why they don't bring up this game. Donovan McNabb going to join us 25 minutes from now. We got 60 minutes left to play. We will come on back after these short messages.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
What up, y'all? It's your boy, Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host, Harrison Sanford, on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.